Hey y'all, it's Tiffany Black, and you're listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey guys, and welcome back to an all new episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, actor, writer, and producer, Tiffany Black. Hey Tiffany, how's it going?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on the show. I'm glad to have you here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I'm always so surprised when people want to like talk to me about art and things.
Really? Why?
I don't know. I think part of it is just like I don't really do interviews, and I feel like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's probably something that I want to see beyond, and I want to be interviewed. I just don't like always feel the most comfortable doing them. Like I have imposter syndrome. It's weird.
Oh,
but thank you.
Oh my God.
Working through that this morning. I know.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I feel you because I deal with that as well. I think a lot of people do. So I feel you. Like I'm on the other side interviewing people. But I think if people were like, hey, I want to interview you, I'd be like, wait, what? What do you mean? Why? Like,
right. Right.
So I completely understand you. You know, I definitely do. But, you know, this is a safe space. So it's all about you and your story and your journey. So it's all good. Okay. So, but I completely understand.
All right.
So you're an actor, you're a writer, you're a producer. So tell me, yeah, like take us back to the beginning. Like where did your creative journey start? And when did you know like this was going to be your full-time path?
I feel like I always say that I kind of surrendered to it. And I've always been an entertainer. And as a child, it looks like learning the choreography on your favorite music videos. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in college, it turns into, oh, she's over the top. She has a good personality. And then as you get older and you realize like, oh, this is a profession. Like, this is a thing. This is something that I can actually do and, like, make a life for myself and love. So I probably surrendered to it after college. And I thought I might go into, you know, reporting news. And I started working at a news station in college. And that wasn't the thing, and I knew it. But I kept applying for jobs in news. And I applied to one acting school. I auditioned for one acting school and I got in with the scholarship. So I was like, this is probably the thing. So I moved to LA.
Wow. Wow. So it's interesting because I've talked to a number of actors who acting was always like in their blood. It was always like something they wanted to do, but they took the route of trying to be like a news reporter and they were just like, nah, that ain't it. So then they were just like, no, I'm going to be an actor, not like a news reporter. So it's interesting. I hear those stories a lot.
There's a reason why. For me, and I can't speak for everybody, but for me it was like I'm a straight A student. Mm-hmm. So like I've always gotten straight A's. Like I've had a job since I was 14. I've been getting paid every 2 weeks for as long as I can remember. So shifting into being an artist is like being an entrepreneur. It's gig work, and people don't really tell you that. Nobody tells you that. So it's like you try to find a job that will give you a similar satisfaction, but still has like the stability of a normal job. And to normal people, it looks like news reporting, but news reporting can be giggy as well. They're just longer gigs. Like you work at a news station for a while and, you know, as your career grows, you get to live in better cities. But once I tried it out, I realized, like, that's not the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Now that makes sense because it almost gives the illusion that it's the same thing because it's like, okay, you're in front of the camera, you're talking to people,
right,
you're interacting. But, yeah, that stability part is there. It's a little – it's the grind is definitely – I would assume it's different. So I can get where the mindset around that is like, okay, this could be similar. This could fulfill me.
Right.
But it could possibly provide like more stability than an acting journey. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you ended up moving to LA. So how did you end up getting your start in the industry? Like what did your early days in your career look like?
And I don't know what a start looks like anymore. Like I think when I first came, I thought I was going to like get discovered in Starbucks or something. And it never happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like Yeah, it just used to sound like, oh, this person got discovered, or this person was like, you know, Tyrese is singing on a bus, or Beyonce did Star Search. And like, yeah. there is nothing like that for actors. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on American Idol and, you know, become Fantasia and Jennifer Hudson. Mm-hmm. So like, there's nothing like that for us. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that, and I mean, I kind of came through the industry during a big transition. So, you know, you have the Issa Rae's that have come out of this era, and it's people basically giving themselves their own start. Mm-hmm. Because you audition over and over. And I mean, there's things to that. Some people feel like it's an honor to audition, but honestly, that is work as well. Like, it takes a lot of work to prepare an audition, to memorize and to, you know, break it down and to breathe life into words that are just on a white sheet of paper. So, I mean, you have people that are just, you know, excellent at auditioning and they will book. And then you have people with very specific sentiments and personalities and essences like me that, like, I'm probably going to give my own self my break. I still don't feel like I have it yet. I don't feel like I've had a break yet. I feel like I've gotten some really incredible roles and I've worked on some amazing projects. But as far as like the thing that is going to propel me, I don't feel like I'm there yet. I feel like I'm going to have to be the person to forge that for myself.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I checked out your YouTube page and you have a ton of videos. And one of the videos
I watched. I go in and out.
Okay. So I saw, I think you said this was like one of your biggest videos when you're talking about how you move from LA to Atlanta and then back to LA. And in that video, you were talking about how you wrote your own film, The Gram, which I watched.
Yeah.
And you said like that really, I don't know if you said it changed your career or it just like created like opportunities because from doing that you realized like you wanted to be a writer. So talk about just like what made you want to create your own film and how that writing bug like developed after that.
Yeah, while I was in Atlanta, which is it's just such a different place from LA, which is also such a different place from Florida, but moving there was the best decision I made for my career, and leaving was the second best. But I have something to say and I can't like deny that. And I think a big like disparity that people don't understand is that being an actor is being told what to say and being a writer is having something to say. It's having a point to prove, it's having a point to make. And that's what I wanted to do with The Gram. I asked a lot of people for help with it. I got a lot of help and then I didn't get a lot of help. So then it just became this thing of like, this has to get done or I'm going to look like I'm not like about this life. So, but after I did it, I was working as a stand-in on this show that used to be on Starz called Survivor's Remorse. So I just had like this really unique experience of like being able to watch full-time like bona fide stars. Like Epps was on the show, Arnold was on the show, and I got to like watch people actually making a living at acting. So that like it made it tangible. And then I was also getting to work side by side with the executive producers and the writers on the show too. And like, if they didn't treat me like I was, you know, just a minion that was just on set, even though I was a stand-in, I didn't have any lines. They ended up giving me a couple of roles, but they listened, you know, they listened at lunch. They invited us to table reads and they solicited our feedback. So when I created my own, they watched it and they were really supportive and they championed me and they told me like, this Atlanta's a great place for actors, you know, building their career and getting those credits. But if I want to, you know, foster my writing and hone my voice and really get those skills, then I needed to move back to LA where I could have the resources. So that's what I ended up doing.
Wow. And then once you got to LA, you like joined the Writers Guild and were there more opportunities?
Yes, I used The Gram.
Okay.
Well, I used The Gram join the Writers Guild, and once you're in a space with other writers, then you get more information. So like if you're on set with other actors and you're doing background work, like you're people talk amongst themselves, you get, you know, resources, you make friends. And then that's what happened when I got to the Writers Guild, is that I met other writers that were at my level and above my level. I met there were writers there from almost everything. There was just insecure. I mean, because you have to be in the Writers Guild in order to write for television. So I was just in those meetings, like, in awe. Just like, oh, my God, you write for Insecure. Oh, my God, you write for Grey's Anatomy. Like, all of these things. So they kind of point you in the right direction. You speak up at the meetings, and people will start hearing your voice. They'll get your personality. And that hasn't, like, yielded a writing job as of yet, but it certainly has gotten me more acting jobs just because my personality is big. So either way, like, it all, like, starts to work itself out. Mm-hmm. And once you know somebody, you know them. It doesn't matter if you met them as an actor or as a writer.
Yeah, that makes sense. So would you say being an actor, being a writer, would you say writing helps you as an artist or, like, helps to make you a better actor?
It definitely does.
Okay.
Yeah, they fuel each other. One, because being an actor, like, there's a certain element of, like, you can't be shy. Mm. And when I go into meetings with showrunners or production studios, like, other writers tend to not be as lively because they're sitting in front of a computer all day, which makes a lot of sense. Like, they're very smart people, but they're kind of introverted.
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, selling a TV show is about, like, the pitch and about, like, selling your ideas and selling yourself. So I feel like being a writer strengthens that part of me being, or being an actor strengthens that part of me being a writer. But the reverse is true as well. I've worked on sets and, you know, gotten to know the showrunners as an actor. And when I rap, like, I tend to get everybody rap gifts, but I will give them one of my scripts. Oh, I will let them, like, I'm shameless. I don't care.
Yeah.
I give everybody gets a script. Everybody gets to know that I write. Everybody knows, because I've been around long enough to know that there's no room for second guessing myself or being too timid or being too shy. Like, I would rather regret being forward about telling you about my art rather than live it with the regret of, like, oh, I should have said something and I didn't. So everybody gets everything now.
That's a gem right there, because I feel like,
yeah, everybody gets the smoke.
I love that, because, you know, there's so many unwritten rules. Oh, you're not supposed to do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. So the fact that you're like, no, I'm shameless. I'm going to put it out there. I'd rather do it than to regret not
doing
it.
And I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't always like that. But the regret of trying to be polite, of not trying to be too forward, not trying to take up too much space, not trying to take up too much time, that wore on me. And I would rather live with the regret of, damn, I should have just left Katori Hall alone, rather than, no, I want her to know that I write, that I'm from the South, that I can totally write for P-Valley as well as beyond it. And if she says no after that, I can live with that.
Wow.
I can't live without not saying anything anymore.
I love that. That's a message from me, okay? Like, I'm receiving that, because...
Girl, you better speak up.
I am receiving that.
They're not going to know if you don't.
Yeah. Like, that is so real. You have to put yourself out there, like, unapologetically and just not care. And just knowing
and
that.
And the real ones respect it.
Yeah.
The real ones who, like, know where that passion comes from in you, they respect it.
Yeah.
And they acknowledge it. And for me, I just feel like life is so much better when I'm bold.
Man, we need a lesson in bold, like 101.
I am bold.
I love that. Oh my gosh, you're making me excited. I'm like, yes, bold.
Right. Like, turn up.
Heck,
YOLO.
Yeah.
I'm going for it.
I
would rather fail up.
Man, that's dope.
I would rather fail up. I'm going to go to the hardest exercise class, and I would rather be the worst person in there, because I'm probably going to get a better workout than I would if I went to the easy one. Like,
yes.
Fail up, girl. There's no time.
That's the mindset to have, especially on this journey. Oh my gosh, that is the mindset to have. Yeah. Wow. So I love how you said, like, you weren't necessarily always like that, and that regret
is
what pushed you forward. Like, man, forget this. Like, I'm about to just put myself out there. I don't care no more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. So talk a little bit about, first I want to ask you, what would you say your writing style is, and, like, has it evolved over time?
It's evolved because it got better.
Yeah.
But the style, I feel like, honestly, it's still reporting. Like, that reporter background, that foundation that I had is still there.
Yeah.
I'm not the person that makes things up. I report live from the streets. I talk about things that I know, mm-hmm. talk about things that I've seen. A lot of ideas that I have come from my hometown, which is St. Petersburg, Florida, where they make it rain in the club. And Florida is just a well of stories. Yeah. And I don't want to miss out on that. So if nobody else wants to pay attention to this small city with one interstate, I will. And I started doing that. Like, I started, rather than seeing, like, oh, I'm not from New York, I'm not from L.A., I'm not from one of these, like, big cities, I have, like, taken it and made it my superpower. Mm. Like, it's fantastic that I'm from such a small place that nobody else knows about, because I get free reign of all of these personalities, all of this culture, all of this tradition that is specific to us. So that, like, I report on things that I've seen and things that I know.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes sense. So I want to know, because there's a lot of people, a lot of actors who ask questions like, okay, should I move to LA? Should I move to Atlanta to pursue my acting career? Since you lived in both cities, can you give a little insight as to, like, what both of those markets are like, or, you know, give some advice to an actor who's trying to weigh out which city to move to?
Yes, I talk about this on my YouTube channel, and I've written a book about it because I get so many questions about it, especially, like, when I first moved. And I agree with everything that I said back then, mm-hmm. but my perspective has changed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And the number one reason is just because we're not going into the rooms anymore as much because of COVID. Like, mm-hmm. we send a lot of audition tapes, and I think that that was one of the benefits of moving to Atlanta. Like, going in for casting directors is a relationship. It's a courtship. They need mm-hmm. to understand your sensibility. They need to know your strength levels. They need to know, like, if you lean more into comedy, if you're more dramatic, or how your voice sounds, what your sentiments are, what makes you laugh. And those are qualities that you don't get to distribute on self-tape. Because mm-hmm. all you get is a slate, and you get to do the part. That's it. You don't get to have that small talk or that banter. Or tell them, like, oh, I saw you in the grocery store the other day, which might strike up a conversation. You don't get to have those conversations anymore. So for me, I'm grateful that I went when I did. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something to be gained from moving, but we're in such a unique time, yeah. such as this, where the relationship that you're going to have is kind of what it is, because we're confined to cell states. So, I mean, that's a great thing, though, because back in the day, you couldn't have a regular job. Like, you kind of had to yeah. throw yourself on the cross to be an artist. And now, because you can do self tapes whenever, you know, it just, you can still, like, have a whole other life. I will say that it's important, because we have so many self tapes, to surround yourself with, like, other artists that get it and that are with whatever it takes to make it. Because if you're in, I don't know, Iowa, and there's no other actor there, the person reading your self-tape with you is they're not going to be as helpful as if I live in LA and I have a plethora yeah. of professional actor friends to choose from because I live here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the same with Atlanta. So, I mean, your reader helps you because they, you know, you sometimes you have to find it. So I do feel like the quality of my tapes, my self-tapes are better in LA because I have a bigger range of, like, amazing people to pour into because they sacrificed their lives for this career versus if I would have stayed in St. Pete. If I get an audition and I'm at home, like, for the holidays and I got to do it with my sister, I'm probably not going to book that because my sister does not care. She's not with it. She's not an actor. And she's just like, are we done yet? So it's those things that you kind of got to figure out.
Yeah. And in your video, when you were talking about, like, the differences and stuff, you said in L.A., you can throw a rock and you'll hit an actor. In Atlanta, you throw a rock, you're going to hit an entrepreneur. So it's like, you know,
it's different out here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I a lot of people will be like, I don't know where I should go. Because, you know, we hear so much about Atlanta and just, like, how there are a lot of opportunities for Black actors and just, you know, getting that co-star. But then LA is just, like, a different type of market. So it's always good to hear from someone listened to both.
I have. It used to be that, like, Atlanta was for the career building of it all. Because mm-hmm. they have smaller roles. Mm-hmm. And I still agree with that. Like, it makes sense. But nowadays, everybody can go out for everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a wide cast net. So
yeah, that's true.
I think you just, it's less about like the location these days and more about you pursuing the type of work you want to do.
That's
and being
true.
Honest with yourself. I think some actors are like, oh, I'm an actor. I can act anything. But there's just some stuff that, like, we're going to believe, and there's some stuff that we're not. So
that's true. That's
if you can
point.
Just be honest with yourself and cast yourself and present yourself in that manner, it helps people think of you when those roles come up.
That's a really, really good point. So what advice would you give to actors now that or what are like some of the main things you feel like actors should be doing to consistently work on their craft?
I think, and this is something I tell my students, I teach at Tasha Smith's acting workshop. Mm-hmm. Something they can do every day is audit themselves. Know what makes you feel, know what makes you tick, know what gets on your nerves, know the person that means the most to you, know what makes you uncomfortable, what makes your body sweat, how you react to being angry. Some people cry. Some people laugh. Some people just have to get out of the situation. So, like, the more you know yourself, the more you can bring to your work. But if you don't study yourself as a human, then you have no foundation to build a character on.
That's good.
I think that being in a class helps. Mm-hmm. And if you can't afford a class, and you've studied yourself to the point of no return, mm-hmm. I think that getting on Actors Access and grabbing some sides that are old and getting a friend, and your friend learns one side of the scene and you learn the other side, and y'all just practice self-taping, mm-hmm. and how much of a meal you can make that, that helps. That is money in the bag. Wow. You don't want to only work at self-taping when you have an audition, because at that point, you're up for the gig. So you make your self-tapes as much of a movie as possible. And I don't mean like if the scene happens in the kitchen, film it in the kitchen. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, definitely do it on a blank screen, on a, you know, blue background or whatever. But give yourself a moment before. Mm-hmm. Have your character coming from somewhere and going to somewhere. Mm-hmm. Add a button at the end of your scene so that that casting director knows that if this camera were to continue rolling, I'm bringing something to this role that other people aren't, that other people didn't think to do, that other people didn't consider, didn't have time, weren't creative enough. Like, I'm bringing Tiffany, I'm bringing a meal, mm-hmm. so that you can tell me what you want. And if you're going to press my tape, I'm making sure that you keep going. Because now they don't have to be polite and wait until you finish. If they don't like you if your first line is wrong, just go to the next tape. And I try to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I try to drop them in before I even speak.
Wow, that's good. That's really good advice. And practicing those self-tapes, like, that's key. Like, when not just self-taping when you get an audition, but putting yourself on tape consistently, like, working that muscle is so important.
It's such a muscle. And I kept self-taping even back when we were still going in the room before COVID. Mm-hmm. I would self-tape before I went in the room anyway.
That's good.
Like, everything is self-tape.
Yeah.
I'm self-tape shoddy.
Ah. I love
because
that.
By the time you finish it, you're so much more comfortable with the material than when you started.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will self-tape on a day and then walk away from it knowing I didn't get it, but that I needed to let it rest and go back to it the next day. I'm giving myself the most opportunity. And that is, it's fantastic if you don't wait until the last minute until they're done. That's one. But I also don't want to give them a take after my third time trying it. So if I've like worked at this and I realize, okay, I've called my reader over here, I've set up these lights and I'm not as prepared as I want it to be, mm-hmm. I will do it. We'll have the session and then I will put it down. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I won't turn that stuff in. At that point, it becomes rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I'll go back to it. And within three takes, I want to let it go because they can tell when you reach it for something that you don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So you mentioned that you are a teacher at TESOL.
I am.
Yes. What do you teach? And okay, I'll start there. What classes do you teach?
I teach theme study, and at TESOL we study from the Ivana Chubbuck technique.
Okay, nice. And what do you love about teaching, and what do you find most challenging about teaching actors?
Oh my God, I teach my class today, and like I think about them all week. Mm-hmm. It has become like this unspeakable joy that I didn't even know that I wanted. Tasha told me that I would be good for this. She told me I needed to do it. And I get it now. And I told her that like maybe a couple of weeks ago, like I get it finally. And I've been teaching since like maybe September.
Okay.
But the thing that is the most rewarding is watching them understand. And the thing that is challenging is knowing that they need the feedback, but I don't want to crush their spirit. So I want to be careful with my words, but I want to be honest.
Yeah. Wow.
I have to be honest, and I can't let them walk away thinking that they did a great job if it was trash, because they're going to do that when they get on set.
Yeah.
And that's either going to cause them to not work again, which is not what they want, or it's going to cause them like just to be embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like your work airs. Or it's so bad that they cut you out and you crowded your family around the TV and you're not even in it because you were awful. So, like, I can't afford for you to think that you've done well if you didn't.
Yeah.
But I can't afford to crush your spirit either.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I want them to be encouraged. I want them to believe that this is possible for them, because I believe that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I when they book, that it fills me. I want them to work. I want them to experience that joy, because I know how it makes me feel. Like I still slick because I'm a thug, but I still like low key cry with my book something, because that means like I know that there's so many other women that are fantastic, that are beautiful, that are talented, that know people that could have gotten this, and for some reason God saw fit for it to be me. And I feel the devastation of the deadline articles when they come out, and it's something that I worked very hard for.
Dang.
That I knew people that, and I still didn't get it, and it's devastating. And then you have to live with that for the life of a series, for the, you know, like it don't let it be something big. Don't let, you know, like we're the only ones that if you go out for something, you gotta live with the person that got the job for the rest of your career. And it's like,
how have you dealt with
that? And don't, I mean, honestly, I'm dealing with it this morning. I saw a deadline for something that I worked on so hard.
That's so real.
So hard. And they chose somebody that is, she's a name already. She's a bigger actress.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. I would cast her for something that I've written. She's stunning. Her work is great. I get it. I completely understand. So I can't be mad. I just have to trust and know that what's mine is mine, and it cannot miss me.
Yeah. Wow. That's real. I mean, that's very honest and transparent. Like, that's some, you know, like, people that are not on that level of, like, being up for big roles like that, like, I don't even think about that stuff. But you mentioning that, I'm like, wow, like, that's a whole different level right there. Like,
it's a whole different level.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it's money that's going to change your life. It's going to change your family's life.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
You're all of a sudden, you go from being on a bus to being on the poster that's on the bus. So it's like, it's things that will change your life. But part of getting to that mentality is knowing that, like, you know, the co-star roles, while they are important, they're more commercials for your acting, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get you some airtime. They're going to get people excited about you. Hopefully you can, you know, get a good joke or whatever and deliver and get on with it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, all of it, and I believe this, all of it is preparation for that series regular or that bigger lead that's in a film. And people make careers out of not being leads all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've seen, like, Loretta Devine be have her own show.
That's true.
She's consistently supporting, but her work is pristine.
Yep.
We know her name.
Mm-hmm.
We can't wait to see her. She delivers. She's funny. She sings. She's stunning. We have grown with her and her career.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe outside of Dreamgirls, but even then, we weren't even old enough to see her in that role on Broadway. You know, right. Not to say, you know what I'm saying? Like, not to say that she doesn't have one and that she may have when she was young. I just, that has not been in my lifetime.
That's
but
so true.
She's been consistent in working, and she has a career that most would envy. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a lead. So it's almost like you kind of got to like get out of your own way and know that what is yours and it's supposed to be for you. And it's not always going to look like you think it's going to look.
Yeah, that's so true. It's true. And I think too, it's a challenge. Like you really have to check yourself, especially with social media and constantly seeing what like other people are doing or booking. You really have to be in a space that you're like celebrating people versus feeling, you know, like it's taken away from you, or jealous, or, you know, because those feelings, even though like it's okay to have your feelings, but like to sit in that and stay in that, like it's very unhealthy, and it's not gonna like propel you forward. It's better to celebrate the ones and know like, hey, my time is coming too. Like that's all it means, you know, and just like keep going.
And it's easier said than done.
Absolutely.
Right? Like everybody says doing that. And I've had my days of that.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that I've realized how much I've grown out of that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's less about like envying somebody else. I want my next thing.
Yeah.
I want my thing.
Yeah.
And I realize like I'm happier when I'm doing something that I love. So, which also, writing keeps me from being like thirsty like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if all you have to contribute, and not even saying that, saying that like it's a bad thing, because being a writer, being an actor is a whole thing. It's a lot of work. It's time consuming, and that is enough. But when that's the only thing that you do, sometimes you are constantly put in the position of waiting for somebody to give you a job.
Right, right.
And when you take the reins on that and you start creating your own projects and you start writing your own projects, like, yeah, you can have this amazing script, but I'm the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or I get to then pick my roles. And that, for me, was the thing that, like, attracted me to writing. It's like I would have been a slave or a baby mama for the rest of my life if I would have left it in everybody else's hands.
Yeah.
So,
That's really empowering. It's like taking your power back. The power of the pen.
I mean, you have to, because I felt powerless so much as an actor. Because you're waiting for somebody to pick you.
Yeah, yep. That's so real. So, you know,
and only one person can get it.
It's so true. And it's every time. Only one
every
person.
Time.
Every
only
time.
One person is going to get that role. Two people can't play it.
Yeah, that's real. So we kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want to ask specifically, like, throughout your journey, you know, as an artist, actor, writer, just this journey, what have been some of like the main challenges you've had and how have you overcome them?
Several things are coming up. I think knowing when to move back was a challenge, because I felt like I could be missing out if I couldn't get back there, but that ended up being worked out. I got flight benefits. I feel like representation has been a struggle for me. Like actually finding people that get Tiffany. Because it's such a specific industry and nobody's career is going to be the same. But I just remember like early on, they ask you like, okay, do you do comedy or do you do, you know, drama? And it's like, I actually do both really well. And I know you want me to choose because that helps your job behind this desk, but I'm a performer, and both days I was just telling the truth. But I have an amazing team now that gets me. So there's that. I don't know. I think probably staying motivated in between jobs. Sometimes you can go a long time without being on set.
Yeah. Yep. That's a real
You can
thing.
Go. You can go a whole year without filming anything or longer and still doing auditions and being like, well, damn, what is it going to take for me to book? What am I not good enough? And then seeing everybody else booking, it feels like it's moving for everybody else. But
right.
When even now, when I get that itch, I'm gonna go shoot something. I'm gonna grab my camera. I'm gonna grab some frames. I'm gonna write something, and I'm gonna go and shoot something. And it's fulfilling. It keeps you active. It keeps you creative, and it keeps you circulating something into the universe. Mm-hmm. And like usually, the next role I get is something in the likeness of the last thing I created for myself. Wow. Just because it lets them, it's almost like another audition of like, this is what I can do. And if they people see you like that, and casting directors follow you, then you can start to sway their perception. Mm. So
that's smart. That's dope. So during COVID, you know, we've all had to make adjustments. I think a lot of people. Some people, it was tougher for them than others. Like for you, what were some of the adjustments or pivots that you had to make during COVID? And like, what are some of the things you learned during this whole COVID pandemic? Like just you as an artist?
As an artist, I quickly realized that if I didn't keep myself working, that I was gonna lose it. Acting is a language, and if you don't speak it, you will forget it. So we got locked in like March, and I got an audition in May for something, and I couldn't remember 3 pages, and I was like, I used to swallow 12 pages. Wow. And now I can't remember 3. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started, me and one of my friends started just self-taping. Just grabbing some size and self-taping for the fun of it, just to like keep something going for ourselves.
Right.
I think that learning on Zoom has been way more effective than we thought it would be. I've taken classes during the pandemic, but I feel like the biggest lesson has been just to like surrender. Like a lot is not in our control, and you got to do what you can and let everything else go and stop like trying to keep your hands on everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm a doer. Like I do things. I'd be trying to take the load off of God. Like God, I'm gonna do this. You ain't even got to worry about it. Just I'm gonna do as much as I can. And I do that so much. And I know God get there laughing like, girl. Okay, you wear yourself out and you let me know when you want my help, because there's only so much that you can do, but I'll be trying to help. And COVID was a painful reminder of like, girl, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
So stop.
Yeah.
And get out of the way.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think a lot of people were faced with that. Just like, sit down some more.
We needed to be. We needed to sit down.
I agree.
We probably need to quarantine for a month every year.
I know. That would be very necessary, because we can become busybodies and it's just like you need to chill for a minute. So
just doing the most.
Yeah.
And COVID wiped all of that out. It took the flex out of everything. It was like, oh, it was a flex to like be somewhere that was like a popping party. And now you see too many people in the room, it's like, ew.
Yeah.
Now we all have to wear masks.
Yep.
So it's like, so being popular is not even a thing. Girl, we can't even recognize you because you got to be in a mask like everybody else. It's like, so okay, so you're buying all these clothes, but where are you going? Nowhere to go now. Like, literally, it snatched the flex out of everything. And it just made everybody more human, because COVID doesn't discriminate.
That's very, very true. Very true. So, do you have anything you're working on, anything you're excited about that's coming up that you can share and talk about?
I just wrapped a project called House of Vicious with Tammy Roman, Brady Evans, Erica Peoples is in it, Nixon is in it, and Kim Fields directed. Nice. So we had like a team of Black female executive producers. That was so much fun. I love the glam department on that. I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's going to Urban Flix in September, I believe. Right now, Stuck With You Season 2 is streaming on All Black. We get a new episode of that tomorrow, the second episode of that tomorrow. So that's going. We have a lovely cast of Entanglements on that show. So watch that. Season 1 was like full of fun stuff and juiciness, but season 2 gets into it even more. I can't wait to see it. Nice. And then, I mean, I'm writing. I'm doing my own writing. So that's more stuff I can't, like, necessarily talk about just because I'm, like,
right.
I'm taking meetings with productions and whatnot. So, oh, nice. But as far as acting goes, that, I have another movie. I don't know when it's coming out. I did a movie in the summer of 2019 mm-hmm. with Kate Hudson.
Oh.
It's called Mona Lisa Blood Moon. And it was more of an art piece, but I can't wait to see it.
Nice.
So I'm waiting for that to come out.
That's awesome.
A cool girl named Lily did it. We shot it in New Orleans. And yeah, but Lily's an artist. She directed it. So I'm just waiting to see like what else she's added to it and what happens. So,
wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I've had some really exciting stuff. I'm waiting. I'll be waiting with everybody else to see it come out. I've even forgot, like, you know, what we did by the time it comes out. But
yeah. That's awesome. And like we mentioned before, you teach at TESOL. TESOL is a place I've been wanting to get into a class, and that is like TESOL's like on the top of my list. So talking to you and just kind of hearing about, you know, your joys of teaching and just like the experience, it's like definitely making me want to like lean in towards TESOL. So
where do you live?
I live in the Bay Area, but I know it's like online.
Okay.
Right? So does it?
Yeah, we teach on Zoom right now. I have a student that is in the Bay Area.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, I mean, especially at a time where like you don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
I think getting in a class is great. But TESOL is very specific also. And
okay.
I like to tell people that
okay.
the Ivana Chubbuck technique, it pulls from your real life experiences. And that works for some people and it doesn't for some people.
Okay.
It does yield very natural performances, but it will contradict your therapy if you got some other stuff running, because we're going to tap dance on the stuff that, you know, makes you sad, that makes you angry, that makes you insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to use those for good for your characters. But if it's something that is like actively working in you and you haven't resolved it, it can be cathartic for some people, but it can also be troublesome if you don't know how to manage that. So
gotcha. That's,
you know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not for everybody. It's a tool in the box.
Okay.
And it's a powerful tool when you know how to use it right, but you got to be able to handle the practice of it,
because gotcha.
That's what it is.
Okay. That makes sense. That's helpful. That gives me something to really like think about and consider. So very helpful, and thank you so much for being here. Can you tell listeners like where they can follow you on social media and keep up with you?
Of course. I'm the most active on Instagram. My stories are a little crazy at times, but Tiffany Blackness on Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, but that's more like stuff for family and, you know, my teachers from college and stuff. I keep it cuter on Facebook than Instagram, but my website is TiffanySBlack.com. I try to keep that updated and whatnot. So yeah, I'm out here. I'm accessible.
Nice.
You found me, Mel.
Yeah, you're easy to find. You're easy to find.
I'm easy to find.
And I like your name, Tiffany Blackness. I love that.
People think that I made up my last name. Like, no, that's my dad's last name. It's Black. I don't want Tiffany Blackness. I just want my name to be Tiffany Black, but somebody stole it and they don't even post on the page.
Isn't that so annoying? People that do that?
It's so annoying.
It's like, give me
it
my
is.
Name.
And and I haven't like cared enough to like pursue it. Maybe one day I will. But Tiffany Black. Yeah, I mean, I am Black, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I'm making work.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here. I'm definitely looking forward to just keeping up with you and everything that you have going on. So, Tiffany Black, thanks for stopping by the Actors Lounge.
Of course. Thank you.
No
Congratulations
problem.
On everything.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.